Reading began the week 90 minutes from Wembley, and now they're up to, well, 120 minutes plus penalties away from Wembley. A 0-0 draw at Valley Prey means we do it all again at the Medeski as we get some Monday night football, but not on Sky and not in the Premier League. It is cup-tastic times on a Monday night as the fixture backlog piles up for the Royals, but who would have it any other way? And who would have this any other way? The Tullisen Podcast. We've reached episode 53. We're running low on fumes. This season is dragging on, lads. But let's rouse ourselves. Let's put in a gritty performance that will match the playing surface at Valley Parade.
Well, absolutely terrible.
Yes. We're going to put in an absolutely terrible performance. No, like, let's try and do our best. Right, I'm Dan Wimbush, editor of the Tullisen End, joined, as always, by Johnny Williams, deputy editor. Johnny.
I'm recovering from a 15-hour round trip to Bradford yesterday.
And Mr. Alan West, who was in the classroom.
I was in the classroom, yes. 30 women,
Elena. What are you teaching?
Where would you rather be?
It's not for me to answer.
We'll save that one for the end of season special. Right, only one place to start, and that is at Valley Parade yesterday for the 0-0 draw. Cup quarter final was a game that had built up for a long, long time. Real excitement, over 4,000 running fans travelling up to Yorkshire for that early kickoff. And, well, we're still in the hat. I think that's the most positive thing we can start on.
We're in the draw for the semi-finals, that's one good thing. For the first time since 1927, as yeah. I keep hearing. It's good. The thing is, right, when we go to a team like Bradford, I think I was a little bit disappointed when you watched a lot in the media because it was all very much Bradford-focused. They beat Chelsea, they beat Sunderland, and now Little Reading have come into town and they're going to turn them over as well. But I think, to be fair to Reading, they've done exactly what they could do to get out of there with some sort of credit because, let's face it, you'd never be able to play football on that pitch. So a battling performance was about all they could have done.
Yeah, I can't disagree. And the funny thing is, I've seen lots of Bradford fans whinging on Twitter saying, oh, Reading came up here, they parked the bus, they didn't even try and win this game. And I'm sort of thinking, you really expect Reading, a team who aren't exactly flying in the Championship, to come out all guns blazing and try and win that game? They had a game plan. Keep it tight. We'll try and nick something if we can, but we'll happily take them to a replay. Job done.
Yeah, I thought he would play sort of some of the players that he did put in, because I thought players like Mackie and that are going to battle and kick.
They're more
and
gritty,
punch, aren't they? Yeah, and have a sort of scrap, and that's the sort of players you need at that sort of ground against that sort of team. And we're at home now, I don't know if that makes it our chance any better of going through. Mm. Our recent performance is probably worse, but at least we're still in the hat.
And I think the extra 500 grand or whatever from getting another cup game on the TV is certainly going to help the coffers anyway.
So too disappointing.
I think Medeski or one of the ties might have said to Clark, look, play for a draw, we need a bit more cash.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly do the likes of Alex Pearce and Alan Federici in their contract negotiations no harm whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, let's be honest, this game was not a classic. I don't think we're going to be rushing to buy the DVD. It can sit along the shelf along with the Championship Highlights DVD from this season.
Yeah, I'm not sure they'll be printing or making too many of them this year. Yeah, point, really.
The only real opportunities for Reading, Pavel Pogrebniak smacks the post and Pavel Pogrebniak palms the ball onto a post. And from the resulting scramble, probably the highlight of the game for me, Hope Akpan's air kick.
I've seen him do that before, though.
Oh yeah, but I think you got to say the elephant in the room is the pitch. It was absolutely.
That's not an elephant in the room. It's a dirty, muddy, horrible.
Yeah, and it was absolutely filthy. I mean, you couldn't even play football on there, and it was an ugly game of hoofball. It wasn't the best advert for either Championship or League One football. I don't think we play the beautiful game most of the season, but. There was another incident as well where I think Pog just about got on to run into the penalty area and the ball took a bobble off the pitch as well. And that completely ruined it. I don't know why they allowed them to play the game on that pitch, if I'm honest. I guess you could stand up and kick the ball, but that was about it. And that was reflected.
You would think the FA would have regulations for a cup competition that has to be passed to a certain standard or you move the game. And I think that would be fair. I mean, people will say it's a great leveler, you know, it's the cup, it's what going to a lower league side is all about. But no, it's not. Not that pitch. I mean, it's awful. And they said, well, we didn't have money to spend on it in the summer, but, I mean, you've been through a few rounds of the cup and you've got some prize money.
I could have rolled it, surely.
You've got to be able to bring in a few slices of turf for the goal mouths or something. I mean, I'm not a groundsman, I can't tell you, but surely you can get some turf in there.
Apparently it's flooded though earlier in the week, wasn't it?
There was a doubt that their game on Tuesday night would have gone ahead. It did in the end.
So that's dug it up, clearly.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter now. It's 0-0. So we'll bring them back here on our shocking pitch as well.
the biggest thing you could tell how bad the pitch was because Reading defenders, instead of playing simple back passes to Federici, were contorting their bodies to clear it in the most ridiculous ways possible. So they were just petrified. They'd obviously been told, just get it away. Don't, because the risk of obviously playing a back pass and it holding up or bobbling
was just
And they did that, and it was nice after some of the recent defensive displays. See, Reading stick to their guns. Obviously, they're not up against the best forwards in the world. Obviously, League One forwards. I don't think we're causing offence by saying that. But they did their jobs, and Alex Pearce and Michael Hector show, well, they're both decent Championship defenders.
Yeah, it's nice to see a centre-back with a broken nose as well. That's proper old school football.
Did you miss a bit where he got naked as well?
No,
it was all over the papers today.
Yeah.
It was like the one image, basically. It was Alex Pearce in his pants.
In his tighty-whities, yeah.
Like the old Terry Butcher of old. Yeah.
It's probably going to be the title for this episode, Alex Pearce's pants.
Might get people listening.
Grab the attention more than the content of the show.
Maybe.
We'll go for a glamorous headline. But Bradford did have a couple of chances of their own. They really put Reading under a bit of pressure in that second half. A load of free kicks. Thankfully, Moraes was constantly putting in bad set pieces. One he did put in well, just narrowly headed over. I think it was Davis. Yeah. And obviously they hit the post as well from a free kick that beat everyone. But Federici, neither keeper. I think there was one shot on target.
Yeah, one shot on target.
Between the two sides.
And that tells you everything you need to know about the game. It was very, very scrappy. It was just, I mean, you know, it was good. It was a good atmosphere because, you know, we had 4,500 fans there. Obviously Bradford, they filled the stadium as well. And they created a really good atmosphere. But ultimately, it was a bit of a disappointing game after so much build-up, after so much hype. And I think, you know, tension had something to do with it. The pitch had a lot to do with it. And I think just the quality of the players as well.
Yeah, and it was good that Reading went there in the first 20 minutes and silenced that crowd as well. Because once that crowd would have got behind them, they would have had all sorts of trouble, I think. And they sort of silenced them and played the game out. So fair play to Reading. It's a professional performance and just hope they can do the job at home.
My biggest complaint is, where's that sort of passion throughout most of the season?
Yeah.
I mean, Nathaniel Shelliber, TV cameras on him, turns into a different player. Committed, you know.
Yeah,
but, you know, you turn it to a league game and it's a...
Well, I think you're going to have that problem now, especially if we go through to the semi-finals. The league, you might as well write off. We're going to do the predictions later on for the next two games and you can't see too many players busting the gut to win their matches.
No, especially on Saturday when you consider we're going to be playing this game on Monday night, just 2 days later. I mean, it's a bit of a shambles by the FA, if I'm honest. And
it is a shambles. But I think you probably find it, do what he'd done against Huddersfield a few weeks back, he'd end up playing sort of Blackman and a few of the fringe players and giving them a game.
Yeah, we'll come on to the replay date in News Bites, but just sticking with this game then, individually, anybody that particularly impressed, I mean, we've mentioned the defence, anybody else that caught you? I thought Jamie Mackie put him in a good shift.
Mackie was frustrating. He had a couple of times, especially in the first half, where the ball was going out of play and he tried to keep it in play and instead put it out of play. So it basically gave away a throw-in because it, you know, it would have been our throw-in if he'd left it alone. Norwood was getting a bit of frustration from the fans.
Jekyll and Hyde Norwood.
Yeah, I mean, towards the end of the game, he wasn't really picking a pass so much as just lumping it forward when he had a lot more time, presumably, than he thought he had. So that was a bit frustrating. Pog put in a lot of effort, as he usually does. Mackie had some good moments, and I thought Howe was a little bit anonymous. The whole back four was good. Federici did what he had to do.
It was played in the right spirit as well. There's a lot of heavy tackles, but they weren't malicious.
One booking in the game.
Yeah, it was just committed tackles, and that's proper old school football. I quite enjoyed that, really.
Yeah, I do want to single out Pog as well, because a lot of people obviously say, oh, he's on X amount a week, he's, you know, stealing a living or whatever, but to put in a shift like that...
You could never, I don't think, well, especially not recently, you can't fault his effort. I mean, if he had goals to his game, he'd be a great striker.
He wouldn't be at Reading.
No, exactly. And I think, since Clarksbury especially, I think he has put in a shift every week, and that's all you can ask of anyone.
But I think seeing Bradford and their two strikers, John Stead, I think he was named man of the match by BT, which I didn't understand at all. And the other one who was, you know, sort of quite tall, quite lanky.
Hansen.
It might have been Hansen, yeah. You could see, I think that game really showed me what we'd be a better side if we had a good target man like that. 6'2", 6'3", could win a header, hold the ball up. Because at times, those two were just completely putting Hector and Pearce out of the game and, you know, just holding them off the ball and holding it up and bringing others into play. If we had a proper target man like that, I think that's a priority.
Well, that's what Murray used to do when he was there earlier in the season. Yeah. That's what his job was.
Okay. Well, one other result just before we move on. Earlier in the week, it was a 1-1 draw up at Bolton. I'd written this one off as a defeat as soon as Bolton took the lead. But credit to Reading, and sort of a precursor, really, to the fight and grit they showed up at Bradford. They did fight, and Jamie Mackie, you know, gets Reading back in it and gets a point. And that's a crucial point because it stops the rot. If we had lost that, I think it's 5 defeats in 6. then obviously with the Bradford game, that would have been, you know, 5 defeats in 7, and you're staring down the barrel, and it's just, it just gives you that extra little bit of breathing space, doesn't it?
It does, and again, we spoke about Wigan and Mill still not really picking up points every week. I know Wigan have had a few wins recently, but not enough to be catching us up.
Lost again on Saturday.
Yeah, quickly. And it looks like them three are probably going to go down. So, yeah, that point is a crucial point because it keeps us a good distance away from the relegation zone.
Yeah, Reading 10 points clear at the moment. But if results don't go our way this week, we could find ourselves fourth and bottom. Still with that cushion, but it's not a nice place to be in.
No. And
psychologically, more than anything.
And the worrying thing is we're not scoring goals readily, are we?
No.
We just nicked a goal at Bolton, but not last couple of weeks. I'm not sure exactly how many goals we scored.
I think
but
we scored 3 in February.
It's not many,
in
is
the
it?
League.
How many goals were on the pitch in that starting lineup? I think Pogge's got 4. Carney's got 1 or 2.
Mackie must have 2.
Mackie's got 2 or 3. Chalobah's got 1. Williams has got, what, 1?
1 or 2, yeah.
Pierce has scored 1 this year, and he
Hector's
scored 1.
Hector might have been top scorer on that pitch.
Yeah, and Federici's nearly top scorer on that pitch.
Yeah. Any, just finally then, before we wrap this up, any qualms with the team selections this week, either at Bolton or at Bradford?
Perhaps the one thing at Bradford is I'd have put McCleary perhaps in for Orton Kanu. I can see why he... why he made the decision he did, because I think McCleary would not have been able to dribble on that pitch. His asset is his dribbling and his pace, and on that pitch with everything that was happening, I can see why he put in Mackie, because he's more of a, you know, more of a grinder, more of an effort sort of person, commitment, work rate, and so I see why he did that. But I think perhaps McCleary on the other wing opposite Mackie.
Okay, so just finally, is this a good week or a bad week for Reading?
Indifferent.
In the context of recent weeks, it's a very good week. But in the context of the season, it's a decent week as well. But
we haven't lost, have we? So
yeah, our game's unbeaten.
Another chance against Bradford, and we've nicked a draw against Bolton. I don't think you can be too disappointed.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 6 out of 10 week. I mean, it's just about better than it is bad.
Yeah, again, it's not a 2 out of 10, so we'll take it. We're still in the cup. We've still got something to play for this season, and I think that's all we've got to hang our hat on at the moment.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the cup, obviously we've teased about that replay date and the controversy around it, and we'll cover that in News Bites.
Reading News Bites on the Tarlhurst End podcast.
Right, welcome back to News Bites. Obviously, one major story dominating the thoughts this week, and Steve Clark put it best. Really, he said that the FA had devalued their own competition by forcing Reading and Bradford to play their replay on a Monday night. It's looking like the replay will be Monday the 16th of March, so that is a week Monday as we record this on the Sunday night. The long and short of this is, due to UEFA regulations, domestic cup ties can't be played on nights that sees Champions League or Europa League action. Therefore, meaning Reading can't play this on a Tuesday, Wednesday or a Thursday. Now, the fact there's 4 or 5 weeks to go until the semi-finals means that this is a bit of a strange one for me. But I presume it's got a lot to do with the television companies as well.
I guess so, but they play league matches on a Cup night. I don't.
It's something to do with domestic cups, though.
Yeah, but does it really matter? I'm sure that Reading Bradford's going to take too many viewers off the Champions League.
Well, I've got no idea, but apparently the FA were fined. Well, they weren't fined. Some of the solidarity payments from UEFA were withheld to the Football Association because they allowed cup ties to be played on Champions League nights in the past. So
it's a nonsense, though.
It is a nonsense. It's silly. You would love to think some common sense would prevail, either from UEFA or the FA, but, you know, obviously it's contractual agreements, and I suppose if you've signed a contract, then you're locked in.
I think the TV companies will be happier because it means that they'll be able to show all of the games. I mean, I think we're hearing that Liverpool-Blackburn replay isn't going to be until April. So that, you know, that means that they'll be able to pick that one up as well. United Arsenal, we haven't seen that one just yet, but that might go to a replay as well. So I think probably they'll be able to pick up most of the games on the telly. It's not ideal for us, it's not ideal for them either. 48 hours until...
It's another argument for no replays though, isn't it? That's the
unfortunately
problem.
I mean, Reading go to Watford, so it's obviously not a very long trip, thankfully for them. I mean, they'll probably be able to stay in their own beds the night before. Travel up to Watford for Bradford, it's a trip to Notts County, so again, not the longest trip for them either, but for both sides, especially Bradford coming away down to Reading, 48 hours is a tough turnaround. Probably works in Reading's favour, but...
We'd hope so, but again, at least they're both away and no one can say, well, you're at home, we're away this week. So the same for both teams, really.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned it earlier, but you've got to expect Steve Clark will put out a virtual reserve 11 for that game at Watford.
As far as he can, I'd have thought so.
I mean, Watford, we'll come on to the preview later, but they're a team third in the league. And even if you played your very strongest team, you're not looking likely. Obviously, we've won Ipswich and Derby, but you're not looking likely to get 3 points out of that. So you've got to imagine you'd be playing the likes of Cooper.
Home banker then, Johnny.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying
you need to make points back. This is your opportunity to make points back.
This is big money.
Yeah. Well, the other knock on is that Reading were due to play Birmingham on that Tuesday, the 17th. That game will be likely rearranged. As we recall this, it's still only a provisional date because that result between United and Arsenal could shift the dates around. So obviously, if that game ends in a draw tomorrow and the FA change things around, then so be it. But at the moment, I said it's looking like the 16th. One nice bit of news is they're keeping the ticket prices the same. So it's going to be £15 for adults, I think £10 for concessions and £5 for kids, I think it was at Bradford.
Do you think it'd be a sellout?
Yes.
I'm not sure. I got speaking to some Bradford fans after the game up in Bradford, and they were saying they thought they'd only bring sort of 500 to the game.
Really?
I mean, you know, on a month. No, I was surprised by that as well. I thought, you know, perhaps I can see that on a Monday night, they probably won't get back until, 4 or 5 in the morning. But it's the quarterfinal of the FA Cup. I'd have thought they would have filled out the whole stadium. I think we might struggle, but...
Well, let's hope they don't.
Well, you would imagine they would probably only take half the allocation because they'd probably have the option for half or both halves of the south stand.
Yeah, I'd still expect 1,500 a turn. That was the minimum, wouldn't you, really?
Well, half in Japan, a couple of times.
When this person said they thought they'd only bring 500. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Well, we'll see.
Well, we will see. As I think Reading fans will sell it out. I think Reading fans have got good pedigree and history for selling out these big games. And I said the ticket prices as well, being as low as they are, I mean, it's, you know, not exactly. And a lot of people, I reckon, would have been cutting back on league matches anyway. Well, they have been.
Everyone's cutting back on league matches.
Or they've been coming disguised as empty blue seats.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, the atmosphere will be rocking. I mean, one other news issue we have to talk about is Stewardgate got resolved. Yeah. The club apologising to two fans who in turn apologised for their use of bad language. If you're unaware of this incident, where have you been? But we talked about it on last week's show. It was two fans in the around the Y18, Y19 area of the East Stand who were using a bit of foul language. There was a complaint made. The fans then tried to G the crowd up while the stewards were trying to kick them out. The stewards left them alone and then promptly booted them out at half-time. The club, in their apology, saying that the punishment didn't fit the crime. Sounds like both sides have apologised.
A hasty retreat, I think, by both.
And, that's it. The issue closed, by all accounts, and the club at the end of it...
Next one.
Well, the club at the end of it have said, hopefully, this will actually be good in the long run because... It helps train stewards. It helps get the club a better gauge.
Good spin.
Yeah. I did like in their official statement, they did sort of say something along the lines of, we love a good atmosphere. Can you create one at our next home game?
Oh, that was good. It was cheesier than the announcer the other week.
Yeah. Oh,
God, DJ Awesome.
DJ Awful. He's back on Tuesday night. Oh, God. I'm going to have to start turning up late to the game.
As soon as I'm going. Bit of cheap DJing. Can't
yeah, I want a panda pop or whatever you used to get at the old school discos.
Two Dog. Remember that?
No.
Bit
Two Dog?
Yeah, Two Dog. Check it out.
What is that?
Check it out on the internet. People at home will be listening
Two
to
this. Dog.
Thinking, I remember Two Dog and Hooch.
Hooch. Oh, I know Hooch. Yeah, Hooch. You were having Hooch at school discos.
You didn't go to my school. They shut it now.
Rightly so. Okay. Panda Pops for me, Johnny.
Yeah, I think Panda Pops. Cherryade, definitely.
I think they're banned as well. I think they probably had more sugar than was possibly too healthy. Too hyper. Anyway, moving on from Panda Pops. Yeah, Stewardgate seems to have come to a peaceful resolution, so that's a good thing. The only other little...
One thing that did make me laugh about this was their comment was, in it, they made a lot of noise in the usually quiet section of the ground. I thought, the whole ground's quiet. In general.
Well, Steve Clarke did actually say in his presser this week, he said that he didn't think it was a coincidence that the players played their best football against Forest while that commotion was going on.
Yeah,
so,
it was no coincidence that I enjoyed that 20 minutes they were nearly getting chucked out more than the match.
Right, well, we now have to entertain you in future weeks. Get yourself thrown out for Westie's amusement. Anyway, the final little bit of news. Jem Karachan got some game time in for under 21, so it's nice to see that he's slowly coming back to fitness. Obviously, he was a pundit on the BT Sport coverage. Did you catch any of the BT? I know you're at college.
No, I see the highlights.
Well, the only thing for me about the coverage was the fact they started the panel with obviously Jake Humphrey, and then you had Paul Jewell, obviously Bradford connection, former Bradford manager, joined by Steve McManaman and Owen Hargreaves.
Yeah, I can see where they fit into it. I'm sure...
Owen Hargreaves extensive championship experience.
I don't know why they didn't wheel out Jason Roberts already.
Well, this is it. I mean, they did wheel out Jem Karachan for a bit, who appeared on the panel for about 5-10 minutes. But apart from that, it's surely you spring out for a Reading player.
And what's happened to Graham Murray? He used to get a lot of coverage, didn't he? When he
he's working as a coach now, isn't he?
Yeah, that's Southampton. Yeah. But normally he would turn up for a Reading game when he'd do a bit of commentary.
Yeah.
Punditry.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, BT, if you do show the replay, we want to see a Reading face on there.
Yeah, Steve McManaman, what's that all about?
Glamour name.
It must be, yeah.
I'll tell you what, Owen Hargreaves could have given a great perspective on our injury crisis.
Yeah, again, that's what I should have done. I had him in the
treatment
room. Yeah, the treatment room.
Yeah, Jem Karachan and Owen Hargreaves together, that's a dangerous combination.
How many working knees have you got there?
Answers on a postcard. Meanwhile, it's time for Pub Chat.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. Read the blog on thetarlhurstend.com.
Right, welcome back to Pub Chat after last week's epic on Stewardgate. I think today's is going to be a little bit tamer, unfortunately. We'll do our best though to create some controversy. I'll stand on Johnny's foot or something to make him angry.
Yeah.
Today's topic comes courtesy of Mark Sugar, who says, excellent Pub Chat on the atmosphere fan ejection on last week's show. Thank you very much. Following up from that, should away fans be relocated to a different part of the ground in an attempt to improve on the atmosphere? Initial thoughts on that?
I think it's perfectly done at the moment. They get the southeast corner. I think the loudest part of the Reading support is in that southeast corner as well. So you've got the atmosphere there, and you've got the fans sort of opposing each other right next to each other. I don't see why you'd move anything around.
It's not the new camp, is it? It's not as if you've got too many places you can move them to. They're not going to take too kindly to a lot of noise in the upper west, are they? And
I think there's two things to it. I mean, obviously, one of the big things is that obviously teams get a lift if they're going towards their fans.
Yeah.
And if they're at the side, then they're not going to get that boost by going towards a wall of colour and wall of sound from their own fans.
But I don't understand where you'd put them.
Well, you could put them anywhere. I mean, just because traditionally, you could put them in that northeast corner.
Yeah, I know. But even so, if you've got a big away following, it ain't going to be big enough, is it? And revenue wins, doesn't it, at the end of the day?
Well, I mean,
you'd have to turf a lot of people out who have got season tickets at the moment. And I think, personally,
be a lot of prawn sandwiches.
Okay, we'll take cost out of the issue. We'll say that we're redesigning the stadium from scratch.
I'd still have them at the end because I think, you want the best seats for your fans. And most fans, I think, prefer sitting at the side of the pitch rather than at the end of the pitch. There's some people who do like to sit in the north stand, but...
Yeah, at a personal level, I hate standing behind a goal.
Yeah.
Anywhere. Yeah. I hate it because you can't see the full match, I don't think.
I used to quite like sitting at the top of the north stand when it first opened.
No, I like to sit on the side. Always have done. Because you can see the whole game. You can see all the offside. You can see both ends of the pitch. You sit behind the goal. You can't see what's happening down the far end.
It's a strange perspective, isn't it, sitting?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never liked
it. The end of a stadium.
Personally.
No, I think the only other place you could say was, maybe stick them in the, the top corner of the upper west. But that's an extra earner for the club, isn't it? They get a bit more on seats sold there, so...
Yeah, it's not going to happen, is it?
No. What do you think about giving away fans the whole... Expanding this a little bit, when the club do give away fans the whole end. They don't have to.
Yeah, but I hate that as well, don't you? Because when they're winning, again, it sort of helps the away team.
But this is what I mean. Do you think the Reading should hard and fast say...
Half
of it, even if it does deny them revenue?
Well, it would be nice to think they would do that, but again... Money wins.
I honestly don't think that fans have that much influence in a game that whether they have half the end or the full end makes that.
I don't know.
Difference.
I think it gives you a little bit of an edge. And football is a game of small percentages.
It is, but I don't think it gives you that much more of the edge when you bring 4,000 fans rather than 2,000 fans. Well, we need to play for these extra 2,000 fans.
It's a bit off topic, but I remember school sports day. And used to do two laps around the track for the 800 metres.
But that went well after a couple of hooches.
Listen to this. But all the kids used to sit one side of the track. Yeah. So we used to run down with all the kids shouting at it. I used to run really fast. And you used to get around the back end when it was all quiet and then slow down. So we got back around to the front again. So based on that principle, I think it does help. If that makes any sense.
It clearly helps. But I don't think it's... The benefit of the revenue, I think, outweighs the fact that the fans might be a little bit louder.
Well, a lot of other clubs put the away fans out of sight, out of mind. If you think, a lot of teams now put them in corners.
Newcastle's great, and they're
up in the top tier in the gods.
Yeah, but like I say, we haven't got a stadium that's that big.
No.
No. Ugh.
So what are you going to do?
I don't know. As I said, I kind of agree with Johnny at the moment. It's nice because the loudest bit of the Reading section is right next to the away fans, so it gets a little bit of niggle.
Yeah, again, if there is a big away following, I think our fans genuinely step up a little bit.
I think we should put them next to the new DJ, the announcer in the Upper West.
Like, that would always be great.
Slam the door down when he starts talking.
Always makes me laugh when you know, there's a big away following, they've got the whole end, and they start chanting at the West Stand. And the Upper West, as if that's where our fans are gonna start responding.
They've got parents covering their children's ears.
Yeah. It's not been the same since. Do you remember when the Meniski first opened, and all that used to separate fans was the netting?
Yeah, the good old netting where people could get over it and just pretend that they couldn't.
I just remember we were playing Bristol City. I think we won 3-2, and it was a good old game and a goal winning. And Bristol City fans tried to start scrabbling over this net, just completely falling over. It's great entertainment.
Yeah, again, they should bring that back. Bring back the net.
Bring back the netting.
It's like gladiators or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, well, anyway, it's a short, sharp pub chat. I think generally it's a no, then. You wouldn't move them.
Nah.
Johnny?
You can't.
No.
I would say yes. I would say I'd stick them in a corner somewhere. I would like to see Reading fans at both ends. But then we didn't have at Elm Park either. It used to be at the town end and the Tarlhurst end.
It's good in big games, I must admit, when... when it's a full house, like in a Premier League, then yeah, great. Put them in a corner at the west side, get them out of the way. But in general, I don't think Reading have got the opportunity to do that until we're filling our own ground, which we don't.
Yeah, well, they build another stand on it. Right, anyway, thanks for the topic, Mark. Hopefully that's answered your question. We'll move on to a few more of your comments and thoughts in the mailbag.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter.
At the Tarlhurst End.
And facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.
Right, bit of nostalgia here for the mailbag. You can hear a washing machine in the background. Reminds us of
old school
football fan casts of years gone by.
No school like the old school.
No, no.
No discos like the old school discos, apparently.
No.
No, with a hooch.
Two dog.
Drink.
I'm intrigued by this.
Two dog. Check it out.
Hashtag drinkaware.
Is it a classy drink or is it a bit of your special brew sort of?
Well, we were drinking at school, so what do you think?
I think this is an obvious pub chat.
Yeah. And it's not big or clever either.
No, hashtag drink aware. Right, moving on to the mailbag. Thanks for all those who got in touch this week. They heard the contact details a minute ago, but I'll repeat them anyway. At the Tarlhurst End is our Twitter address, thetarlhurstend@gmail.com for your emails. And also check out our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/thetarlhurstend. So plenty of ways to get in touch. Not so many emails. And
Unsurprisingly,
yeah. Obviously, the mailbag bulging last week after the couple of 3-0 defeats. This week, two draws, and you've all gone rather quiet.
A huge lack of interest.
Mm. Yeah, I think everyone's a bit tired out from that long trip. Can't say I blame you. But thank you to those who have sent in your tweets. We'll start with Mark Mayo. He says, do we reckon the club will be in a position to fend off interest for the likes of Williams and Hector, especially given that Williams is a high earner?
I've always said that every player has a price, and I don't think there's any pressure for us to sell. But if someone came in, I mean, you know, you don't want to play fantasy manager, but if someone came in with a bid of, say, 4 or 5 million for one of those two players, I think it'd be hard to turn it down. I don't think we're the club that will hold on to everyone just because we can. Every player has the right price, and we've seen in the last 15, 20 years that generally we seem to get the better of these sorts of deals.
Yeah, we have done with virtually everyone, but possibly Sidwell.
Mm. Yeah, everybody's got a price for the $1 million man. Sorry, gone old school WWF there.
And again, the only thing you can say about it is in the past we've not reinvested, and with a new chairman or chair people, then maybe they might put that money back into the side, which probably would only help the squad in the long run.
Yeah, I'd like to think they can keep hold of Hector. Williams, a bit less so. I think he's got one more year on his deal after this. He's obviously got high international aspirations. If a Premier League club did come in for him, I don't think he's done enough for a move, though.
He's not done enough to impress anyone. I wouldn't have thought above us. Although I like him as a footballer, I think again he tries hard, but it's no real quality to say actually this bloke's a Premier League footballer.
You could see a higher Championship side maybe taking a punt on Hector, but again, I still think he needs another year. Needs another year of seasoning. He's still very young, especially for a centre back.
Yeah, he needs some good 2 or 3 years, I think, before we reach his full potential.
Yeah, and with all the money coming off the book, obviously we're still getting some parachute payments next year. The only Williams and Pog are about the only two big contracts I think we've got left on the books, maybe Hal Robson Kanu. But I think there's going to be a massive clear-up. I mean, Charles said it on the podcast extra a few weeks ago. he's expecting to see some big names go that that we don't think. And you wonder if anybody's going to survive and get a new contract.
The thing is, the cup will have helped. You know what I mean? If we get to the semi-final now, that's a big lot of money they weren't expecting.
Yeah, but even half a million is like, well, I suppose that could pay for someone on 10 grand a week for a season. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
There you go. Moving on, Ben Raddy says, it was a decent enough draw. Can't blame the effort, but lack of quality showed, especially in the second half.
The pitch was just completely unconducive to any sort of football. Yeah. And you could see that from, as I said, they're not necessarily two long ball teams. You watch some of the goals that Bradford scored against Chelsea.
Oh, that's some good football they played.
They were sensational. I mean, they looked like the Premier League champions. It was just the pitch that completely ruined the game as a spectacle and as a game of football.
Yeah, and Sunderland went there and tried to play football and got beat, so what do you want?
And we kept a clean sheet, which Chelsea and Sunderland didn't manage to do, so progress.
Yep, agreed. Alex Everson, who does our bookie watch as a Reading fan man, says, despite the pitch yesterday, are you a bit disappointed in our slight lack of attacking intent?
No.
Slightly, but again, I think we put out the right team to counter their threats.
It's not a tactic that we've not become used to recently away from home. It's try and grab a goal and hold on to it and don't give too much away, and they've just gone and done what they've done the last few weeks.
Yeah, someone was saying this on Twitter earlier, and my argument was that if Reading had fallen behind in that game, there was no way they were getting back in it.
No, we probably lost. And that's been our problem at home. Once we fall behind, we can't get back into games.
Yeah, so with that, and with so much on the line, I can 100% understand why you go extra cagey. Reading have lost nothing by taking this game to a replay. No. Let's be honest, our league form's going nowhere anyway.
No.
So it's not like, you know, Bradford, on the other hand, have still got a playoff challenge they're hoping to fulfil. So, you know, this really doesn't suit them either way. But for Reading, their season's boiling down to that replay anyway. So it doesn't matter that you're dragging them back. And yeah, you'll get a few whinging people saying, oh, yeah, great advert for the game, yada, yada, yada. Reading won't care. I liken it to, everybody remembers that 2-1 win over Wigan at the Wadeski Stadium. Forster, Curran and Butler, late show. Nobody remembers the awful 0-0 that came before it at the DW Stadium.
No.
When, again, about 4,000 Reading fans, I think, headed up there. And it was a game that...
I was there,
okay. Yeah, yeah. I can't remember anything from it. I think Roy Carroll might have made a save or two in the Wigan net. But apart from that...
No. He doesn't remember anything either. He was on his hooch.
Yeah.
The two dog.
Hooch watch. But no one remembers that game. And it'll be like this. If Reading win this game and get to Wembley, nobody's going to remember the quality of the first leg.
The thing is, it's laughable, really, making comments, really. Because if that Paul Grebeniak shot would have gone in.
Don't say our listeners are laughable.
No, but you know what I'm saying? If Paul Grebeniak's shot goes in and we win 1-0 in a scrappy game, everyone's like, oh, what a professional performance, well done, Reading. Yeah. They've had one shot on goal, it's gone in, and they've done great to keep them out the other end. But because it's 0-0, people saying, oh, did they do enough attacking intent? They haven't attacked away from home for ages, have they? For a good season. So I don't know why we're expecting to go down, take the game to sides, because it's not
I think we had spells of possession, and as I said, I think that chance was probably the best chance of the game. Their two hit the post weren't necessarily from better chances. I think we did enough in that game.
Yeah.
Certainly not to show that we are completely under pressure and they were the better side. I think we did. You know, we did a professional job.
And at home, we've been taking as games to teams and getting beat. So what do you want to do?
Yeah, and the argument goes, oh, Reading are in a higher division, yada, yada. But there's, what, 10 places or so between the two sides? Reading in dreadful form.
Yeah.
The two sides are closer in quality than you think. I think, obviously, Reading have got better quality throughout the squad, especially when they're playing well.
They've got a stronger squad, like I said.
But I don't think there's too much between the teams. I said, if you went to a team 10 places higher in the Championship putting that performance, everyone would be saying, well done, got the point.
Yeah, you wouldn't fancy Reading to go to Bristol City at the moment, turn them over, would you? Never leave Not below technically, no. So...
No, right, moving on to the aptly named We Can't Win at Home. He says, if we play Bradford 2 days after Watford away, which match do you think Clark will prioritise?
Let's think. Bradford.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say Bradford. As I said, I can see a complete change in that squad. I think you'll see the likes of Cooper, Akpan, Blackman.
Home banker written all over it.
All get a game.
I think even if he wasn't rotating the squad, it's a home banker.
We might see Jure Trafner.
Why not give him a game?
Might see Danny Guthrie.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
Someone like Aaron Cole a game.
Yeah.
Good game for him. Jack Stacey.
Samuel, well, get Samuel back off loan and...
for one game. Yeah. Send it back.
Yeah, why not? Might as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like you said, we probably won't win with a full strength size, so...
Yeah, well...
What difference does it make?
Speaking of that game, we'll preview that as well as Tuesday's game with Brighton in Any Other Business.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. Any Other Business.
Welcome back to Any Other Business. The games just keep coming. There is no break. Two more for Reading this week, starting with Brighton at the Badesky Stadium, a Tuesday night game, chaps. Not exactly our forte in recent months, but Brighton, one of the few sides that are probably in worse form than Reading, especially away from home. At home, they're decent. They've won three in a row.
Beat Derby last time out.
But at home, they're still very much, away from home, they're still very shaky. They won a couple of games at the turn of the year, but apart from that, it's only one other win. So, ready to go into this. If they win, they could be 13 points clear of the relegation places, and you'd probably say job done. But yeah, if they lose, as I said, could be right down there, and only one place, albeit still at least 7 points clear.
Yeah, and this is what I was saying last week about the psychological thing, and you mentioned it earlier. In reality, you're still just about as close to... Well, you're closer to about 12th than you are to 21st, but you're still in 21st.
Yeah, the league doesn't look good if you end up that bottom bit, even if it is 10 points or 9 points, whatever it happens to be.
No, what do you think team-wise then? Obviously, they've just come off a pretty heavy game on a tough pitch at Bradford, but obviously the next game before that is only 2 days before, so is going to be a tricky one for Steve Clarke to pick.
Is Simon Cox fit again? I think he missed out due to injury, didn't he?
Well, he was on the bench, so theoretically he was obviously fit enough to...
I think he goes 4-4-2.
Yeah, what about Cox and Yakubu?
Yeah, I think he'll play Cox. I still don't think Yakubu's up to 90 minutes.
Yeah, we'll give him a game then.
But this is it. I mean, do you play the side you're going to play a week on Monday, even though they've only had a couple of days rest? Because if you don't play them here, they're then not going to have another game until Bradford.
I think you've got to do that. I think this is a far more winnable game than the Watford game. We've already said that you can write off the Watford game. And we do need wins, and you need to find some form from somewhere. I think he's going to put out the side that probably he would put out on Tuesday night. And you've got enough faces in that team to keep it fresh. Bring in McCleary, bring in Blackman maybe. You're going to rest probably one of Chaloba, Williams and Norwood. I think there's enough in that side to win.
Yeah, but my more point is, John, is that if they've got this Bradford game a week on Monday... If you change the team now, you're not really going to have a chance to play the team that you want to play against Bradford, because you can't play them on Saturday at Watford if you then play 48 hours later. So do you go and say, this is the team I'm looking to play against Bradford, you go out and impress me against Brighton on Tuesday, even though they might be still a bit knackered? It's a really tricky one, and I don't envy Steve Clarke here. Westy, what would you do?
I get what you're saying, actually. I think he probably will play a stronger side. It is more winnable than Watford, and then you can mix and match at Watford, and no one really cares if you manage to win on Tuesday night.
I mean, they're professional.
The thing is, if you get an injury, that's the only thing they might be thinking.
But, you know, they're professional footballers, and I think it's a bit ridiculous to say, oh, a player can't play two games in 3 or 4 days. I mean, Saturday 12:45 to Tuesday 7:45 or 8 o'clock is actually a fair amount of time.
And I think they've had longer than they would usually get in league matches.
Yeah, but given by recent Tuesday results, they don't seem to do so well on the recovery, do they?
Well, you can't see him changing a back four, because he never does. Mm. And there's not much to change, is there? There's not a lot on the bench to change it with, really.
And then you've got 6 days to the next game. I think that's absolutely perfect. I think he'll put out the strongest side he can.
Yeah, I agree. I think you put out the team on Tuesday that you're going to put out against Bradford. And I think you say, this is the team I'm leaning towards, go out and impress me. And if you don't impress me, you're not going to play.
And on the flip side, when Saturday comes, if he does mix and match it a bit, then he's saying to them players, well, you know, there's still places in this team if you go out and grab them this afternoon.
Well, he rewarded Mackie, didn't he, with that goal at Bolton. I think he would have played him anyway, but it certainly, you know, put him back in Steve Clarke's mind. You scored, so you deserve a chance.
If Cox and Yakubu managed to notch two against Watford, it'd be hard push to say to him, actually, you're on the bench again this week. Mm.
Yeah. But in terms of quality, as mentioned, Brighton, a team that Reading really should have beaten early in the season. They took that 2-0 lead at the Amex and conceded a late goal.
Last minute Calderon, wasn't it?
Yeah, in one of Clark's first games. Glenn Murray with a couple of goals, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So there's obviously nothing to fear from Chris Hughton's side. But then on the Saturday, as we mentioned, they have to go to Watford, Vicarage Road. Get your goals out. Watford, a team that are just scoring goals for fun. They are a team very much in form. I think they've only lost two of their last 10-11 games. Winning games for fun, up to third in the league. And that whole top five, there's only 1 or 2 points separating them now in the Championship. Yeah.
And they're scoring some goals as well. I mean, looking at the fixtures here, Jesus.
4-3, 3-0, 3-2, 2-2.
They've scored more in the last six or seven games, I think, we've got all season.
Yeah, stuck home 5 against Charlton and 7 against Blackpool.
7-2 against Blackpool.
Yeah.
Another 5 away at Fulham.
Were they losing that game at Blackpool?
Yeah, they were 2-0 down, weren't they?
Mate, it was something silly.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. We've joked about this. It's a home banker.
This is a spanking.
Yeah.
But then, isn't this exactly the type of game that Reading write off and then go and win?
Probably.
No.
Not.
No. No fairy tale for you today, Johnny.
No, not at all. And I'm going as well, so I want them to win, but I just can't see it happening.
This is our Cheltenham saver, isn't it, Johnny?
Yeah, definitely. This is the banker. The banker of Cheltenham is on the Saturday.
The banker.
Right.
Gamble away.
Speaking of bankers. Right, prediction league time then. Delighted to say that I'm still top of the league. Go me. I correctly predicted that 1-0 draw at Bolton. I knew that we would snatch that last-minute equaliser. And that late goal from Jamie Mackie has given me
punch in the air, wouldn't you, mate?
A 4-point lead over Johnny Williams.
Even Tim Deller didn't know. I was listening on the radio. He sort of said, well, 30 seconds to go and Reading have lost. Oh, Jamie Mackie's just scored. Oh, fair enough.
Charles joked on the show on Friday. He was saying he put out a tweet, said Reading could be playing for another 3,000 minutes or something and they wouldn't score. And sure enough, they did. But I don't think he was the only one that had given that game up for dead. Mm. But yeah, so I'm on 22, Johnny on 18, Westy, you're on 13, so you're up to third. Charles languishing.
Third out of three.
Yeah.
Fourth.
Charles languishing at the bottom on 12.
Maybe Charles is still fourth.
Yeah. Fourth, that's something. Are we paying four places?
I think we are. Each way turns.
Right, so Charles already predicted a 0-0. He predicted that on Friday's podcast. Extra chaps, what say you? Johnny, I'll start with you for the Brighton game.
No, we'll start with you.
Okay, fine. For Brighton, I'm going to say Reading are going to scrap this 1-0.
I'm going to say we win 2-1.
And Westy?
1-0.
1-1. Well, you've had it there, folks. We've all predicted a positive result, and you know what happens when that happens.
Yeah.
Customary defeat. Right, what? Watford.
How many?
Five.
Johnny's going 5-0.
You assume nil. Yes, nil. Yes, nil.
Westy.
I'm going to go a bit left field. Right. I'm going to say 4-1.
What are you going to say, like 1-0 Reading or something?
No, not that left field.
I'm going to actually go quite random. I'm going to say this is going to be a 1-0 game to Watford. I think it's the type of game where Reading will change their squad a lot and they'll actually scrap quite hard and then concede a goal.
Lose.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They'll lose anyway, but I think they'll put up a gutsy display. So, yeah, a 1-0 win to Watford. I'll get Charles's view and prediction on the podcast extra on Friday. We'll also catch up all the team news ahead of that massive game with Bradford.
Was Chaloba injured in the Bradford game?
He took a bang to the face from Alex Pearce, funnily enough.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it didn't look too bad. It's just like he was just a bit dazed.
Yeah.
So, and it was a case, you had a substitute left. I don't think it was as bad as a concussion.
It'd be all right.
I think it was just his vision because he caught him right in the eye. So I think it was a little bit blurry. So you had Hakpan on the bench with 5 minutes to go. It was a no-brainer sub. Right, that just about wraps up.
Was it really because Hakpan missed a sitter? But...
yeah, true. Right, that about wraps up the show. A shorter one than usual. Not a lot going on. It's a draw week and a thin mailbag. So we've done our best to entertain you.
I think we have.
Have you been entertained?
Yeah, give us a like, give us a review.
Yeah, stars. Go on to iTunes. Head over to talisend.com where there is plenty more engaging and interesting content. Plenty of analysis from that Bradford game, as well as we'll preview Brighton, Watford and the Bradford game in due course as well. A couple of cracking articles as well in the build-up to that original Bradford tie that I think is still well worth a read. Check out Maskell's piece on previous quarter-final heartbreaks.
Did Parky get a rousing...
That's strange. No, well, I think there was possibly one chant of five Parkinson's, but there wasn't too much. I think
heat of the battle, you don't G up the opposition.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was that. So I imagine it'll get a good response at the Madstad, but there wasn't too much of that at Valley Parade.
No. Right, we're off. We might well record before the Bradford game. There is a chance that we won't. Obviously, it's a Monday night, so if we can't get together on Sunday, then there will be no show. So just in case... there's no show. Are we going to do it, lads?
Extra time and penalties.
It's what we're saying. Who's going to hit the winning penalty?
Adrian Vivash.
I was there for that one. Winning penalty, Robson Kanu.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
He'll be taking one of the first ones,
yeah,
surely.
I think you need to go a bit left field.
Come off the hour.
I reckon We win 2-1, 90th minute, Yakubu.
Yeah?
The hero.
What about come off the hour, come off the Caracan?
He's not getting anywhere near that squad. If anyone can, Caracan.
I'm going to predict doom because I can't possibly jeopardise our chances by going unanimous. I've also put money on Bradford to get through. I've Judas betted this one.
That is
heavily.
Very Judas betting.
Oh, it's, you've got to have the basically, I'm in a no, pretty much a no-win scenario here.
So what we're saying is we get all that Watford money we're going to make, and we're going to stick it all on Bradford. Just in case we do.
Let it ride. Right, speaking of let it ride, we're going to ride off into the sunset. Thanks very much if you've taken the time to download and listen to the show. I said, sorry, it's a little bit shorter than usual, but we can only do with what we've got to work with. So
it's all quality. 100%.
Yep. Stay tuned on Friday for the podcast section. I said hopefully we'll be back on Sunday, but if not, we'll be back in due course. Stay tuned to @TheTylerSend on Twitter for the latest info. And with that, we go. Fingers crossed for the semi-final draw on Monday. Oh, we haven't even mentioned it. The people have probably switched off by now because we've wound down the show.
About four times.
So if you're still with us, if you're one of these people that stays till the after credit scene.
If you like the music that much.
Yeah.
Some
yeah.
people might listen for the music.
If you're still Googling too, Doc. Be careful what
if you've fallen, if you've fallen asleep. Some people like to fall asleep to these sort of things. Who do you want in the draw then?
I think everyone wants Villa or Blackburn.
Yeah.
I think Villa because I think Liverpool win the replay.
Yeah, I think Liverpool will win the replay. But
I think Tim Sherwood's massively overrated as manager and Villa are massively overrated.
Yeah, they're not a great side.
Ferb's last words.
Yeah.
And also, no one wants Arsenal or Man United.
And we owe them from the last quarterfinals, so they knocked us off.
We do.
Yeah, John Carew.
Right. Much like the Lord of the Rings, we've teased you with a finish a few times.
Dragged this out long enough.
Stay tuned.
Just like Lord of the Rings.
Stay tuned after the credits for some more, for the director's cut of this podcast. We're all off.
Do we get a trip to New Zealand then? Like Lord of
if
the
you're
Rings.
If you're paying,
yeah.
Well, if Reading lose, then 5-0, then
3 cases of 2 dog.
We'll record this. We'll speak to the club and see if we can get a place on the Thailand tour in the summer.
Thailand tour, yeah.
The Thailand Hurst End.
Thailand.
Oh, that is good.
Thanks. And with that bombshell, we are actually going to go. Come on, you Rs. Hopefully, a couple of good results and then some cup progression. It's funny how the crowd's always been.